Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome on into the circus. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas. Well, he's supposed to be here. And Joe Giglio. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. Kyle Quinn behind the glass. You guys on the phones with us. A big show. And at some point, we'll have Hugh. It's like a reflex. I say, good morning, Hugh. But Hugh is not here yet. Some car trouble.
Yeah,
not today. Some car troubles for Hugh. He's on his way. We'll have Hugh Douglas with us as the show goes on. Let's see if I remember how to do this. I used to do this at night.
Do you want a Daily Douglas?
You have one?
Well, if your car's not starting and the key's stuck in the ignition, it's probably your battery.
It's probably not going to start just like magically. So Hugh's dealing with a car issue. He'll be here very shortly here. 215-592-9494. The circus music there was not for Hugh Douglas. I mean, it could be, but it wasn't meant for Hugh Douglas. It was meant for the Sixers. We'll get to a lot today. Sirianni, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts' ankle, which continues to be kind of a mysterious thing going on here. Buster Olney will join the show later on the Phillies offseason. By the way, the Soto stuff is starting to pick up a little steam with the Phillies. So we'll get to all that. Kiss the baby later in the show. But we start here with the Sixers, who lose last night in Memphis against a team that started Scottie Pippen Jr. on it. I didn't even know Scottie Pippen Jr. was in the league. I mean, like, I didn't even know he was a thing. And he's on the Memphis Grizzlies starting last night. That's not a good team. They didn't have their best player out there. And the Sixers go down. I know the score was close by the end. It really wasn't. They were down 15 with a few minutes to go. This team is terrible. They look like they're going nowhere fast. Now Paul George is hurt again with the knee issue. So I'm looking at a 2-12 Sixers team. And, you know, in some years you might say, all right, let's just take a deep breath. It's still early. 10 teams make the playoffs because the NBA lets, you know, 2/3 of the teams in. Just relax a little bit. Don't overreact. But I actually think we're underreacting to the Sixers to start this season. This team's bad. It's not a good team. Their best player this year has been a 20-year-old. I mean, like, you don't win anything with 20-year-olds as your most consistent player. They might be nice players, and I like Jared McCain, but they're not going to win anything this year with him as their most consistent player. So I have Joel Embiid off injured and moping around. I have Paul George injured for the second time. Maxey's obviously a good player, but he just got back in there. This is not a good team. It's not going anywhere. And then I was looking for something to feel better about after the game last night. Because, all right, they lose, but at least they were all on the court. I know George is hurt now. But like after the game, are we going to hear them as a strong, united front after the game? You know, specifically Joel Embiid talking for the first time after what we know went public a couple days ago. Well, then I saw this quote. I didn't see any videos for some reason. No one decided to take a video and put an audio out. Maybe we'll try to track down the audio of Joel Embiid today if we could find it. But I saw this quote from Joel Embiid last night. Philadelphia Inquirer after the game asked about the report that came out from Maxey calling him out a couple days ago. Quote, whoever leaked that is a real piece of bleep. Okay, so Joel Embiid, woe is me, never showing any remorse, never showing that it's his fault, blaming the person who leaked instead of, you know, him. And then he goes on to say this. We talked about a lot of things, Embiid said following the Sixers game. Quote, I don't want to get into the details, but that whole thing with Maxey probably took 30 seconds. But then again, it's Joel Embiid, so we got to make everything blown out of proportion. As Joel Embiid is woe is me, and this is all just on him, right? Blah, blah, blah. Here's the reality. The Sixers are a bad team. They have a leader that doesn't know how to lead, and they're not going anywhere this year. And I've reached the point now, what are we, 14 games into the season? And I know this is probably going to sound extreme, and I don't care. I'm ready to tank this thing. If I were the Sixers, I would sit Embiid the rest of the year. I would not rush George back. He's obviously got some knee issue that has now happened twice in a matter of a month. Like that's, and he's had knee issues before. So that's a four-year deal. I'm not trying to push him back on the court and then he hurts himself worse and he misses next season. If I were the Sixers, I would sit down with Joel Embiid. I would let George take as long as he needs to feel as good as he needs. And I would start the process of tanking the season. Tank the season. Get a high draft pick. This is not going anywhere anyway. 215-592-9494. So Chandler Parsons, he does a show, I believe, with FanDuel. Recently, he had a similar idea. Now, this was kind of, I think, in the frame of Joel. But now George is hurt again. But just the idea that maybe just punt this year, get a high draft pick. There's a couple of really good prospects, including Cooper Flagg from Duke. I know it feels like Groundhog Day, but sometimes you got to go back in the past to move forward here. Listen to Chandler Parsons recently talking about the Sixers and what he'd do.
You have to start planning this season for sure without Joel Embiid.
Gotcha.
How many times more are you going to put him out there when they know how severe it is? I can't not trust my eyes. I see Joel Embiid. He's in pain. He's not running back. He's not sprinting. He's not changing directions. He's doing nothing that he was doing when he was the MVP. So this is a completely different player. He's not himself, which is why I feel for the guy. And I know him. Media-wise, he's getting scrutinized. Mm-hmm. He wants to play. And I'm telling you, it's just going to make it worse. So I see this coming to an end here real soon. And I feel for the guy. But I think long-term, this is best. He just re-signed his contract. I think it's going to get shut down here soon. They have to plan with going with Drummond, going with Ubaselli. They have to go with these guys because I just don't see a world this season where Joel Embiid is back to himself.
Well, I don't either. I mean, last night he played relatively well, better than he has in the last few games. But how many of those games are we going to get? One out of every three or four that he's going to look like that? Now George is hurt again. This team is not good. I mean, they've played 14 games. They've won 14% of them. They have the worst record in the NBA. You know, they're probably not going to do this. Like, I know what I'm saying. The Sixers probably would never even think of this. Well, they should. And we're probably going to dance this dance of, can they make the 10th seed in the playoffs? Can they get in? And then what? And then they'll get run out of the gym by the Cavaliers or the Celtics in the first round? Like, let's just be real about this. And that's when the process started. And I know so many people hated this 10 years ago. But part of the reason why I was on board with it then was face reality. The reality is, the way the Sixers were, they were never winning a championship. And the way this Sixers team is, this season's shot. Paul George is damaged goods. Maybe some time, like real time off, could get him ready for whatever the next couple years is, or you keep him healthy to trade him. And Joel Embiid, like, if he had shown some sort of leadership last night, I don't mean on the court, because he did play relatively well. But after the game, to make it the woe is me thing, I mean, these quotes are ridiculous by Joel Embiid last night. Quote, we talked about a lot of things, Embiid said following the game. I don't want to get into details, but that whole thing probably took 30 seconds. He means with Maxie there. But then again, it's Joel Embiid, so we got to make everything blown out of proportion. Now we're talking in the third person here. We got third person talking. We got woe is me talking. And we have Joel Embiid calling out the person who leaked the meeting. We're moving away from the real story here, Joel. It's not that the meeting details got leaked. It's that a meeting was necessary. 215-592-9494. I am ready to tank the rest of the season. I'm shutting Joel Embiid down. I'm telling Paul George, go get healthy. If it takes you 2 months, we'll see when you get back. And I'm planning the future. I want to see McCain and Maxey lead the team. We'll see how good they could be. And then after the season, we'll have options. The Sixers will have likely a top five pick. They could draft a really, high-end player, which they haven't had a chance to draft that high in a long time. And then they can make decisions on, do they trade Joel? Do they trade him for picks, players? Do they trade George? Like, get to next season and reevaluate. Kyle, I'm throwing the towel on this season. I am tanking here. This thing is a done.
I was hanging on for dear life this offseason, saying you got to keep taking swings at this thing. You got a chance to add an actual piece around Joel Embiid and Paul George. We're seeing how that's working out. Not well at all. So when we had this report last week, or was it earlier in the week, about Joel Embiid, or it was Tuesday, right, about the Tyrese Maxey thing?
Yeah, Tuesday.
We said, this is either going to be a turning point where Joel Embiid takes this and says, you know what, he's right, I need to change my ways, and we're all going to soar from there, everything's going to be up, or he's going to crumble, get mad, take offense to the whole thing. And based on the quotes last night, this went in one ear and right out the other for Joel Embiid. None of that resonated with him at all. I just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel with this Sixers team. And there's some levers you can pull. You can fire Nick Nurse. That does nothing for me. Like, that to me is the equivalent of the house is on fire, but my dishes are dirty. Let's wash the dishes. Like, no, get out of the burning house. It feels like the only possible way to make this season palatable for anybody is to try and end this whole thing right now. You can maybe just cut your losses, get a healthier Joel Embiid next year, even though that's sort of a tough thing to bank on. And if you end up getting the number one pick, then you get another exciting white here in Philadelphia, and you're going to wave the white flag for Cooper Flagg.
Oh,
Joe,
like
I'm
that.
All in.
Oh,
I'm in.
Wave the white flag for Cooper Flagg. And if you don't know that name, you will soon. He's the top prospect out of Duke, who probably will be the number one pick in the NBA draft next year. 215-592-9494. A lot of conversation last couple days on Joel Embiid. And you can weigh in on Joel specifically and what he said last night. Whoever leaked that is a real piece of bleep. That was his reaction. Like, this is the ultimate missing the message here. Like, you're missing the point, Joel. I mean, this reminds me of when, like, my kids are 9 and 7, and they fight sometimes, and they push each other, and then, like, they don't get, like, you're responsible for your action, right? Now, you can't say, well, he said this. That's what this is. This is, like, watching this two kids under 10 argue and like, well, he said this and he said that. Well, you can't shove him.
And shame on anybody, and me included, for thinking that he was going to have any kind of change in mentality, work ethic, all this stuff. Like, this whole idea, because I was against him going to the Olympics, like vehemently.
Yep.
And I remember some of the arguments for it was, well, he's going to be around winners, and he's going to learn he's going to learn how to win, be around LeBron, and absorb his great work ethic. Nonsense. Like, none of that seemed to have gotten there. It doesn't seem like there's any getting through to Joel Embiid. Honestly, like, if he's not going to change now, when can we ever expect him to?
No, this is who he is. And unfortunately, he's a diminished player physically. So you have, I mean, you saw it last night. He's moping up and down the court. He at one point, he's like touching his knee, or like he looked like he was really hurt when they were down 15 with 4 minutes to go. He's not the same player. They have issues throughout the team. And let me give you quickly, and we'll go to the phone lines. 215-592-9494. I'm ending the Sixer season today. I'm tanking this thing. Wave the white flag for Cooper Flagg. I'm done. This team's not any good. Let me throw out an example of in the NFL and why this could work, okay? So we're seeing it right now with the New York Giants. Last year we saw it with the Denver Broncos. The Sixers have two players that are potential trade candidates after the season. And I think we all realize they can't trade Joel today. They can't trade Paul George today because they just signed massive contracts. They could trade him in the offseason, though. They could trade him next summer. But they're not going to be able to trade him if they're terribly, you know, in a bad way physically. And this year in the NFL, just happened this week, we were having fun with the Tommy DeVito stuff. The Giants are benching Daniel Jones. He stinks. Who cares about Daniel Jones? But they're doing it because they want to cut him after the season. And if he gets hurt, they owe him a lot of money. Last year, same thing happened in the NFL with Russell Wilson. The Broncos were in a playoff race. They were like 500-ish. They sat Russell Wilson down because they wanted to cut him and they didn't want him to get hurt. Well, I view this the same way. The tank here, I'm proposing is shut Paul George down. He might be hurt for a while anyway, and shut Joel Embiid down. That way in the offseason, you know, get a full year out of McCain, get a full year out of Maxey. They'll lose a ton of basketball games and we could reassess, like, all right, where is this team? Maxey after a full year, McCain after his full rookie season, a very high pick. Maybe they get the number one pick, they get Cooper Flagg. All right, that's the trio now to move forward with. Do we want Joel as a part of this? Do we want to ship him off for whatever we could get? Do we want George a part of this? Do we want to ship him off for whatever we could get? That gives you an opportunity to have those guys as healthy as possible. I recognize it's only, what, November, what is today's day, 21st? We're a week before Thanksgiving. I don't care. I've watched 14 basketball games here, and this team is a disaster. 215-592-9494. Where are you at this morning? Your reaction, Embiid, his reaction, and your reaction to it last night, the whole Maxey meeting thing. He called whoever leaked it a piece of bleep, and he said, well, you know, basically, it's what was me act. Oh, it's all about Joel Embiid. Yes, it's all about Joel Embiid. You're the star player on the team. Of course, it's going to be all about you. Your reaction, Embiid, the loss last night, and are you with me? And Kyle, would you tank this thing? Hugh will be here when his car gets taken care of. This is a prime day for the Hugh. Does he do anything for us drop? I mean, it's, come on, Hugh.
Does Hugh do anything for us?
What are we doing? No,
I mean, what are we paying for?
That's actually the question today. Now, Hugh will be here shortly. 215-592-9494. Jeff in Wilmington starts us off. Good morning, Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Jeff, well, you mean, I'll tell you what's not up. The basketball team. At two.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
12.
Apparently Hugh's battery isn't either. So,
nope.
All right. So, Joe, you said that when you said, I think it's time for them to tank, I don't even think they even have to try. This team is terrible. Like, okay, yes, setting Joel down, that's probably what they should do. Because the quickest – I think the NBA is the quickest league to be able to retool a team from being bad to good. So if it means shutting down Paul George and Joel, that's going to be an easy lottery pick. Because right now they're not even good enough if you keep those guys on the court whenever they play. So the way I look at it, they're not even really going to have to try that hard to tank.
Well, and they've gotten off to a great start, right? If Tank is the solution, they've got the first 20% in the bag. I mean, they've already lost 12 games. They just keep going.
Yeah, Joel just doesn't get it. I mean, he just the idea that he's calling somebody a piece of crap for putting something out there tells you that it definitely was said in the meeting. So he's mad about that already.
Well, that's a good point. Yeah, that because there is a world where they could have downplayed what was said. Maybe the reporting was a little off, right? But no, you're right. By him getting that frustrated, it's clear that it was pointed at him and he didn't like it.
He could have said, "Yeah, look, we had some words. We got it all settled. We got it cleared. We're trying to move forward. Not call somebody a piece of crap." So.
He also could have said, you know what? I needed to hear that. I'm going to be a better teammate. But instead it was, oh, it's a bigger deal because it's me. Like, there's just no awareness, Jeff, that, like, you're right. He doesn't get it. Jeff, good phone call. He doesn't get it. And some players in sports don't get it. But, you know, like, if you have LeBron James in his prime, he got it. But if you have a player of that caliber in his prime, you deal with it. There are certain players in sports you deal with. You know, did T.O. get it? Obviously not. But at one point, he was amazing. Did Randy Moss? No, but they were amazing players. This isn't an amazing player anymore. He's a good player who might have every fourth night give you what he gave you last night with 30-plus points. Those quotes last night after the game, you add that to everything else, and it's like, really, man? That's your reaction? That it's blown? It's not blown up because it's you, Joel Embiid. You don't think this would be a story if it was the Warriors and someone called Steph Curry out? Of course it would be. Like, anyone that's a top 10 player in the league and they get called out by their teammates for not showing up on time, that's a major story. If I'm the Sixers, and Daryl Morey is always about percentages and numbers and title chances. If I'm Daryl Morey, I'm looking at the reality today that this season's done. There is a big-time NBA draft class next year. The Sixers, obviously the fan base here has been palatable to this. We did this for years. Do it again. This doesn't have to be a four-year reset, right? They have Maxey. They have McCain. If they get a top-five pick and nail it, they've got options next season. They could go young with three young good players. They could keep Embiid and George if they want to rehabilitate them, or they could ship one or both of them out of here and start from there. Ed in Phoenixville. What's up, Ed?
Oh, has much changed in the last decade? It just feels like we started the process at one point, now we're back to square one. To say I'm frustrated is an understatement. Where I think the Sixers are really screwed in this whole deal is, what are they going to be able – they may have to give up draft picks to – have some team take these contracts off their hands in the offseason. I mean, am I missing? I mean, what value does Embiid and George have in the offseason?
Not much, Ed, and that's part of why I want to make sure they're as healthy as they could be when we get there. So whatever value a team puts on them, it's not diminished by them, you know, like a whole year of George having nagging knee issues. But you're right, and Ed, that's why them being as bad as possible this year actually could behoove them, right? They secure a top five pick. They get that kind of player because you're right. They may have to attach future first round picks just to get off these guys.
Yeah. And I'm envious of what Sam Presti is doing in Oklahoma City to where it was kind of process light. Really all he did was trade overvalued contracts for draft picks. And he's somehow able to kind of turn that around quicker. I mean, I was a huge Hinkie guy, but Sixers are really in a bind here. And I think, you know, if they get a lottery pick for sucking this year, like, they may have to package that to get rid of Embiid and George, and that's like the conundrum they're in.
Yeah, it really is. It's as bad as the start of a season as I can remember. Ed, it's a good phone call. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, he's right. I mean, Ed is right. They may have to move off to get off of George or Embiid. They may have to attach picks. I mean, they did that with Horford. Right, that's how they got Horford out of here. And by the way, that's why the Sixers pick this year has some protection attached, but it belongs to the Thunder. Now, they'll keep it if it's really high. But if it's like the 8th or 9th or 10th pick, it goes to Oklahoma City. So like, if the Sixers are going to be bad, there's no in-between this season. They can't be just kind of bad because they're going to lose their first-round pick then. They got to be really bad. I haven't said these words and said them with, like, excitement, and I'm trying to find the positive in the nonsense here. I haven't said the word tank in the Sixers in a good way in, like, I don't know, 10 years, because I was all for it 10 years ago. What, maybe it was 12. Time moves fast, but here we are again, and I think it's the only way out now. They recognized all those years ago the only way to try to build a winner was to lose, and right now they tried to build a winner and they're losing anyway. It's time to lose on purpose. I would shut George down. I would shut Embiid down. I would tank this thing. 215-592-9494. We will do Hughes Clues next, with or without Hugh Douglas, who is trying to get his car taken care of and get here. Plus, if the Sixers ended today, what are the odds they do land the number one pick in the draft? We'll tell you about that next. Would you tank this thing? 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. This hour is sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season in Philly, so fly to Popeyes. Fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors from Popeyes. Sixers lottery odds. I can't believe we're here. And your phone call's next on Sports Radio 9.